Book of Revelation, chapter 21, and beginning at verse 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for a little glimpse into our future as Christians. God, please help us today as our pastor comes and preaches to us to hear what you have for us today from this scripture. God, help us to apply it in our lives so that we're better Christians. And Father, to get this task done, I pray that you'd anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit. And then lastly, Father, if there's someone in this room that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior from their sin so they can go to heaven, I pray they'd settle it before they leave this room today. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, we have to give you the warning. And the warning is concerning your cell phone. Now you need to make sure it's turned off or turned to vibrate. If your cell phone goes off during the service and it is heard, there's one. Now you're safe. You're under the line right now, so you're all right. Now listen, if it goes off during the service, we have laser beams that are directed and guided to pick up the tone of your cell phone. And those laser beams will drill a hole in the back of your head. Now, you've been told you have a hole in your head, and if your phone goes off in the service, you'll have one to match what you've been told all your life. So make sure they're turned off or to turn to vibrate. Before we get to the message this morning, Brother Ms. Hornbeck, would you stand, please, for us? I didn't recognize them this morning. This is our missionary to the military, Brother Ms. Hornbeck, and they serve in Germany. They're home for a few weeks. Brother John's mom, of course, a faithful member of our church here. And they're home for a little bit. It's not often Lietta gets to come with him out here to the West Coast. And so it's good to have, how many? 10 years since she has been out this way. And but it's good to have Brother Ms. Hornbeck home. God bless you all. Thank you for being here today. Now then, that gave you even that much more time to make sure your cell phone is turned off. Spare you that, and the smell of burning flesh is just awful. So help us there, would you, please? Now I'm going to ask that you sit still and listen very carefully, please. Look in Revelation 21 this morning in your Bibles, and I want you to keep your Bibles open. In Revelation 21 and verse number 6, it says, And he said unto me, three words, it is done. It is done. Now look at me this morning. In the context of the book of the Revelation, this is in heaven. Everything is finished now. In Revelation 21, verse 1, he said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away and there was no more sea. It's all finished now. In the context of the Revelation, most of the book of the Revelation, and we pronounce it incorrectly. We call it the Revelations, and it's the Revelation. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. And most of the book of the Revelation is about the tribulation period, that period of 7 years. That takes place after Christ comes back for his own. We call it the rapture of the church. That's the next event on God's prophetic calendar, by the way. Christ coming back to take us to be with him. When that happens on this earth, 7 years takes place of a time of great tribulation where the wrath of God is poured out on this earth. And at the end of that 7 year period of time, 2/3 of the world's population is dead. After that 7 year tribulation period, Christ returns and sets his foot down on this earth. And Jesus rules and reigns on this earth for 1,000 years. Sits on David's throne in Jerusalem. And the Word of God and the Son of God are the absolute rule of authority in this world for 1,000 years. At the end of that 1,000-year period of time, there is a great judgment time. And many stand before the Lord. That's in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 to 15, the great white throne judgment. And after that judgment, and after all that time that has transpired of events that God says have yet to come, then God says, the Bible tells us that God takes the surface of this earth and burns it off in a bath of fire. The oceans are gone and the earth's surface is gone. Now, not the earth. The earth's surface is gone, and then God makes a new surface on this earth. He brings down out of heaven the new Jerusalem, the new heaven, a city four square. And then when you get to Revelation 21 and verse 6, God says, it is done. I was thinking about that this week. It is done, God will say. All matters are completed. Everything is settled. It's all taken care of. Now listen to me this morning. Listen very carefully. What does that mean to us today, though, 2010, on September the 5th, Labor Day weekend? We're talking about in a moment where God the Father steps out and says, okay, it is all finished. Now it is done. What does that mean to us today? See, Pastor, I mean, it's at least 1,000 years away from us. I mean, how does that help me Labor Day weekend, and what does it mean to me? But if you think about it this morning, what that statement means and the context of it and when God says it and what is entailed in this statement of it is done, it very much matters to you and I today. It really does. See, most of us this morning, we suffer from a horrible short-sightedness. Look at me. Some of you this morning, you can't see past the end of the service today. Your Labor Day Monday is more important to you and occupies more of your mind than what this preacher is going to tell you this morning. But assuredly, my friend, as certain as the Word of God you hold in your hand is, this statement will be made one day and the Father will complete everything and it will be done. It'll all be done. And it matters to me right now, this moment in my life, that even if it's 1,000 years from now, and it has to be at least 1,000 years away, when that moment comes and the Father looks over and there's a new heaven and a new earth and the redeemed of mankind are all standing there with Him and He says, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. It's all completed now. It's all taken care of. Do you know what it means to you, Labor Day weekend 2010? It's important to us when He said, it is done concerning this life. Now, first of all, get this. This life. Because you see, look in Revelation 21 again. Keep your Bibles open. Look at verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Verse 5. And He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Think about that statement this morning, friend. And He said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And He said unto me, verse number 6, it is done. It is done. Listen, you know what it means to Pastor Johnson this morning and what it should mean to the people under the sound of my voice today? It means we need to realize that concerning this life, there will come a day when it will all be gone. All of it. Every bit of it. The place where you sit, the place where you live. Your life, this life, every road, every street, every monument, every structure, every building, everything ever done by mankind will all be gone. All of it will be gone. Well, we pride ourselves and patting ourselves on the back and celebrating this and celebrating that and lifting up this accomplishment of mankind. This is a map, not a complete map, obviously, of the world. You know, ladies and gentlemen, there'll come a day when there will not be one continent on the face of this earth. It'll all be gone. 70-some% of this world is covered in water and oceans, and that will also all be gone. And so will every structure of mankind, and every accomplishment of mankind, and every feat of mankind, and every remembrance of mankind. Every library will be gone. Everything that man has ever done will be removed from this earth. See, what happens to us, I'm afraid, today is we get so earthly-minded and so present-thinking-minded that we really don't realize that what you see, everything that you see, is temporary. Every bit of it, all of it. Everything we treasure, everything we value, say, well, God's going to take it all away from me, Pastor Johnson. He's going to remove every taint of sin and everything that's ever been touched by wickedness. It'll all be gone, every bit of it. Now, what it means to me today then is this. Don't get too infatuated with this life. Someone once said, don't get too concerned about this life because you're not going to get out of it alive anyway. And that's a true statement, my friend. You think about what value people value and they treasure so much anymore. They're more concerned with becoming an American idol. They're more concerned with becoming popular in men's sight. They're more concerned. There's people in this room this morning, you're a child of God, you're a Christian, and you don't live like it because you're so concerned about what people think about you and what mankind thinks and what mankind says and what mankind does and what mankind accomplishes will all be gone because it will be done just like God said. See, it matters to my life today. Concerning this life, it is done. Verse number 4 is the promise about this life. Hey, that's a good promise there. There are people this morning in this service, already they're wiping tears from their eyes. The Bible says there'll come a day and there'll be no more crying. And the reason your heart is broken will not be remembered any longer. It'll all be gone, every bit of it. You know what's amazing? When you get to heaven, you know the people who are in heaven. Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, then shall we know, even as also we are known. And I'll walk up to you in heaven and you'll walk up to me in heaven and we'll know one another. But we won't remember anything about each other that's bad or wrong or no failures, no flaws, no mistakes. You won't walk by people in heaven and go, yeah, I know what he did. People won't walk by you in heaven and say, yeah, I know what she said to me one day. It's all gone. Former things have passed away, the Bible says. You know what that means? God wipes the slate clean. Well, that's a day coming, Pastor Johnson. Well, you know what? What's amazing is this. I don't know how important it is to you what people know about you today, but what we ought to be more concerned is what God does know about us. And did you know you can have that removal of all those things between you and God done the moment you trust Christ as your Savior? Do you realize that this morning? A saved person and that saved person's sin and their God will never meet up. There'll be no judgment for sin for the child of God. There is a judgment seat of Christ where the value and the quality of your life from your salvation to that moment is weighed and measured. But it won't be a sin issue. There'll be no sin there. You know, it's amazing when you stop to think about it how that God in His willingness to forgive us for Jesus' sake because of the cross, because of the blood of Christ, God wipes it clean. And when you go to God and you say, you know, Lord, but years ago before I was saved, oh, there was things in my life. God has no idea what you're talking about. As far as east is from the west, so far as He removed our transgressions from us. It's an amazing thing when you think about the forgiveness of God. And you know something, friend, this morning? When it's all over and said and done, God says it is done. And as to this life right here, it's all gone. All of it. I've had the privilege to go to some incredible places in this world and see some things that just amaze me in their sight, in their beauty and vision. But one day it'll all be gone. Is that good, Pastor Johnson? Yes, all our past, all our failures, all our flaws, all our mistakes, all gone. But is that bad, Pastor Johnson? It is. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Some of you folks, your life is so attached to this life. Doesn't mean you need to become one of those people who are so heavenly minded they're no earthly good. But frankly, ladies and gentlemen, honestly, do you live and die by CNN and Fox News and the front page? Is that how you live your life? Do you live your life by economic indicators? By the GDP? Do you live your life by the stock market? Do you live your entire life by what's said by man, done by man, what people say, what people think? Is that how you live your life? Is this life really all that matters to you? Can all you see is just the tunnel vision that you have where you just see a day of retirement, as it were, or something ahead of you, an event, and that's all you see is this life? See, that's bad. When He says it is done, that ought to shake us for a moment and help us to realize, my friend, that everything we see in this life is temporary, every bit of it. Listen to this verse in the Bible, please. For which cause we faint not, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Listen, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The Bible says the outward man perishes day by day. Simply means we're getting a little older every day. Yes? My friend, look at me. Look at me. Now, you can get all infatuated with the vanity of appearance things. You can stretch it. You can strap it. You can tie it up. You can do all that stuff you want to. You can put tape on it. You can go get surgery if you want. Some people today, seriously, they get one more facelift and they're going to have to shave their earlobes. It's really bad because their armpit hair is going to be up around their ears. Some of these people, Nancy Pelosi can't smile. She can't do that. One more, well, never mind about her. But the truth of the matter is, it's interesting to me how fascinated people are. They're so concerned that they get this perfect appearance thing down. And there's nothing wrong with looking right and decent, all those sort of things. But ladies and gentlemen, honestly, the truth of the matter is, eventually we're all going to get the furniture disease and the chest is going to fall into drawers and you can't do nothing about it. Because the outward man perishes day by day, but the inward man can be renewed, the Bible says. And we need to get this idea that while we live in a world of visual things, the things that are seen, everything you can lay your eyes on is temporary. Every bit of it. All of it. But the things which are not seen in eternal with God, in heaven, souls, lives, people, truth, those things that cannot be seen, they are eternal. And when it's over and said and done, God says, here it is. It is done. This life that people were so caught up in, so infatuated with, some people will literally choose this life over Christ and go to hell for it. Because in Revelation 21 and verse number 8, the Bible says, but the fearful and unbelieving, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Look at me. Do you know the number one and two cause of sending people to hell is fearful and unbelieving? People who are afraid to give up their religion or whatever else it is just to simply trust Christ. Or they fear that if they get saved, it's going to change the life they want to have so badly. Or they just won't believe that God could do the work of grace in their life like he's done for everybody else. And the fearful and unbelieving are the top two that wind up in hell. Before murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars. Because this life, it's what it's all about. Hey, look at me. The truth is, if this life controls your life, you need to get it is done in your mind. Because that's the way it'll be one day. The Father will step back and scan the universe and say, we have a new heaven, we have a new earth, and it's all done now. It is done not only means we need to understand this concerning this life, we need to understand it concerning eternal life. Look in Revelation 21 again, please. Now notice it, would you? And I heard verse 3, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. Tabernacle means a dwelling place. Tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God, the Bible says. When he says it is done, my friend, there in Revelation 21, verse 6, it's the dawn of eternity. The dawn of eternity. Now that's, you want to talk about something difficult to grasp, try and get a hold of the concept of eternity. But look at me. When he says it is done, it simply means this. Eternity starts now. For everybody that is there, and the saved are gathered with the Lord, and he says, now here's how it's going to be. I'm going to be with you, and you're going to be with me, and nothing is ever going to change that again. Eternity with God. For some people today, they think, oh my soul, what's that going to be like? Floating around on the cloud with long blonde hair on praying hearts and sprinkles boof of dust on people. And I mean, you know, what's heaven? You just walk around going, ooh, I mean, how good could that possibly be? Well then, my friend, you don't know the God I know. You must not know Christ as your Savior. Because just the thought, I don't know about all the stuff. I know streets of gold and gates of pearl and walls of jasper, and I know about all that. And he describes it in chapter 21 and 22 of Revelation. He describes it in great detail. I know about the
the structure of heaven and the concept of heaven and the place of heaven, 1,500 miles high, 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles deep, a massive city that God is preparing, even now, the Bible says, for His children. I know about the building of heaven, and I know about the construction of heaven, and I know about all that stuff. And you're impressed with streets of gold and gates of pearl? Okay, fine. You want walls 216 feet thick, 216 feet high, 6,000 miles long, with precious stones laid at the foundation, worth multiplied trillions of dollars? Okay, that's impressive. But quite frankly, if it was concrete streets, concrete sidewalks and asphalt streets and split-level condos, as long as Jesus is there and I get to see Him, and all my loved ones that have gone on before me, that I stood by the gravesides and watched them and stood by their hospital bed and held their hands while they drew their last breath. As long as all those dear saints of God I've gotten to know over these years, and we've said goodbye to them and they've gone to heaven. As long as they're there and we have that great day where there's no more goodbyes and God takes care of everything and all issues are resolved. And let me hear it. It is done. It is done. Eternity begins. We're with God and God is with us and there's nothing between. There's no cloud. There's no glass darkly any longer. And once for all, forever, it's all settled and done. And it's not eternity of asking God questions. Well, how come this happened to me? And why did that have to happen to me? You really think that's what we're going to do in heaven? First of all, who gives a flip about what happened down here anyway? See, your problem is this. You really think that God answering your question is going to make it go away. It doesn't go away. It still happened. It's still here. And it doesn't resolve any issue. But tell me when you walk around in heaven, and that baby who went to heaven from your womb, and that child who died when they were little, and that loved one that you saw cancer take from you in this life, and you see him in a straight, strong, and healthy body, tell me it's going to matter to you how they went to heaven or why they went to heaven or how they were taken from you. Tell me it's going to matter to you at all. Won't you just be glad to get to see them? Won't you just be glad to know that there's eternity dawning and everything is going to be just fine? And aren't you glad he did it in that life and not this one? Don't you realize? If he heals our loved ones and we stay here, they stay here with us, they're still going to have to die to go to heaven. It's still going to happen. But the very best that God has for us, he is reserving for a place in eternity where there will be no more parting. And we won't say goodbye anymore. No sorrow, no tears, no pain, no cemeteries, no jailhouses, no hospitals, no suffering. Nobody gets old. Nobody dies. Nobody's heart's broken. No more troubles. No more difficulties. Eternity dawns and God says, it is done. And it all begins. You've all seen those places before where a store has some kind of anniversary. They hand out raffle tickets or whatever it is you get. And if you get the ticket, you get to go in that store. And on a special day, they'll set up a clock. And they'll give you an hour to run through that store and get anything you want. Now, I know what will happen if that happens to me. It'll be Petco. And I'll be stuck in the cat section. I know it will be. I know, because that's the kind of stuff I win. I win stuff like that. Or, you get an hour shopping at a Budweiser distributor. You know, like, I really care about what goes on over there. Why in the world would I get a raffle ticket from them anyway? I don't know. But anyway. And we watch them and we see them push their shopping carts up and down the aisles and we think, oh man, if that was me, I'd be grabbing this and I'd be pulling that and I'd be throwing this stuff in there and I'd give me some big baggy clothes and throw things down my shirt and I'd throw things in the cart and I'd have it all planned out and prepared. You think, friend, you think for 5 seconds, here comes a new heaven and a new earth and our God stands up there and he says, okay, this is it now. We're going to wipe everything out. It's all going to be gone. Nobody's going to remember anything anymore from the past. All that form of stuff is gone now. It's gone. All that is taken care of and you have a new heaven. That mansion I promised to prepare for you, it's there, it's done, it's ready. You can go and possess. And it's all yours. And God says, it is done. And eternity begins. You don't think we're going to be like a bunch of happy kids running up and down an aisle of glory in heaven? We're realizing that we have a brand new home and a brand new place and a brand new start. And God is with us every day. We see his face. He's with us. We're with him. You don't think that God's people are not going to be like a bunch of kids in a candy store? And then you'll start thinking, then this is forever. As a boy, I lived in a drunkard's home right here in this town. The day came, I was living with my mother and stepfather.
He was a bartender and a drunk. And she was a drunk. My mother's in heaven this morning watching me. The day came when it got so bad. In our house, they fought almost every day. And on the weekends, when he wasn't working, they drank heavy. They drank every night. Never saw him without a can of beer and a shot of whiskey and glass in their hand. Never did. And it got so bad in that house where our stepfather began to beat on us. My grandparents, very godly people, my dad's people, they came and said, we're going to take these boys. And I had a sister, older sister, Cheryl. We're going to take these children. They're going to come live with us. I've tried to find that little house up in Central Valley. It's Shasta Lake City now. I've tried to find that little house and see if it's still alive. Because I remember it as a boy. It was set back off a dirt road, as it were. Had a big picture window in that house. A little road, that path driveway, paved road driveway, as it were, from our house out to the road. And I remember my mom telling us, now you're going to go live with your grandparents. You can't stay here anymore. It's just not good. Little boy in my pajamas, I'd step on her teeth in the floor. He'd knock her teeth right out of her mouth. I'd step on her teeth in the kitchen floor. They packed what little stuff we had in a little suitcase. And I remember my brother and I, they had a little couch that was in front of that big picture window. I remember my brother and I sitting on that, kind of kneeling on that couch and looking out that window, waiting for them to come in that brown and white Chevy with the big wings on it. Our grandparents to come and get us. Now, I don't know if this is right or not, but when they pulled up in front of the driveway, we grabbed our little suitcase and we ran out of that house. I don't remember hugging my mother and saying goodbye. All I knew was we had spent some time at my grandparents' house, and I knew what it was like at their house. I knew it was quiet and it was peaceful. And there was nobody fighting, and there was no broken furniture, and there were no drunks in that house. We got in the back seat of that car. We drove off on that dirt road. Neither one of us looked back. Never went back to live in that house again. That night we got to my grandparents' house, and my grandfather's a construction worker and a superintendent of a construction company, and he had built us some beds and put some mattresses on them in this room at their house. We lay down that night. My brother Jack's 2 years older than me. I leaned over. I said, you awake, bud? He goes, yeah. And I said, can you believe it? I said, can you believe it? We get to live here. We get to live here now. This is now our home. This is where we get to live. Can you believe it? He says, I can't believe it. It is done. Eternity starts that moment, and nothing is going to taint that, change it, harm it, affect it, alter it. There won't be any tree in any garden anywhere. Won't be two people standing there questioning God and taking forbidden fruit. It won't start the process all over again. It's not reincarnation. It's not redoing this life. It's not something ethereal. It's a real place that He has prepared for us. And I guarantee you, somewhere down the road, you'll walk into the mansion Christ has prepared for you, and you'll say, can you believe it? Can you believe it? We're here, and this is forever with Jesus. So when He said it is done, and it's even yet 1,000 years off, for me, it's like being a boy, kneeling on that old couch, looking out that glass window, and waiting for them to come. This morning early, I was sitting out there on the deck. Breezes were blowing. And I thought to myself, it could be today. Could be today. Trump of God sounds, dead in Christ, rise first. Don't tell me Methodists don't go to heaven. Dead in Christ, rise first. Then we which are alive and remain, sorry about that. We which are alive and remain are caught up together, and we meet the Lord in the air. Hey, listen to me. It could have been this morning, bright and early, right out there in the cool breezes of this day. Maybe it'll be this afternoon somewhere, hopefully after lunch, somewhere after lunch today. And we get a nice lunch and we're going for that Baptist nap, and just about the time you get horizontal 10 feet toward heaven, 10 toes, excuse me, toward heaven, all of a sudden the trump of God sounds, the dead in Christ rise first. Hey, it's the first of the month, the bills are due. What a great time to go up. But think about it. And that 1,000 years is a day with the Lord, as a day is 1,000 years. Believe me, that'll go by so quickly for us on that side of eternity, it won't make any difference. And the next thing you know, we'll be leaning over and saying, listen now, it is done. And eternity begins. And all of it, hey, look, all of it's settled then. And the Word of God is true. And the God of heaven is the God. Still is now, by the way. Everything God said was so. We're standing there looking at it. And it is so. It is done. Concerning eternal life, my friend, that day isn't that far. It is done. God kept all of His promises. It is done. God's Word is faithful and true. It is done. Just as God said it would be. And it will be. And it is done. I have hope for today and tomorrow. And a hope that is so good, it has no end in its eternality. It is done. Do you have that this morning? Friend, listen to me. Do you? Number one, it means you have to have salvation. Christ is your Savior. He that hath the Son hath everlasting life. Eternity is fearful to someone who does not know they have eternal life. Knowing Christ as your Savior will settle that. Do you have that this morning? Number two, if you have eternal life, are you so infatuated with this life you can't see past this? And 1,000 years away from us, you think, big stinking deal. It is big, it doesn't stink, and it's not a deal. It's done. It is done. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning.